Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. If you were hungry, and you were cold, and you were standing in the rain, drenched and totally wet, how would you feel if somebody just walked by you and said, "Go in peace, keep warm, and be well fed"? You'd think, well, thanks, but no thanks. Words mean nothing. And even the Bible says that. In the book of James, it says, what good is that? Words without works. That's what we're going to look at today on Daily Hope, how to put your beliefs into action.
Thanks for joining us here on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. You know, the world tells us that we shouldn't count on anyone but ourselves to make our way in life. We don't need anybody's help. We know what's best for us. Now, as we continue our series called Better Together, we'll see that God's Word, the Bible, says the exact opposite. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that will help you learn how to love, trust, and work together with your family, friends, and community to achieve common goals for your life. It's called the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. You can take a sneak peek at this great resource, which includes a 6-session DVD and study book guide, just by going to rickwarren.org while you listen to today's message. That's rickwarren.org to find out more. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called How We Help Each Other Grow.
And let's read together Romans 8:29. Would you read it with me? From the very beginning, God decided that those who came to Him, and all along He knew who would, should become like His Son. The third purpose of life is to become like Jesus Christ. While you're here on earth, God wants to get you ready for heaven, and He wants you to grow in character. He wants you to grow spiritually. That's what we're going to look at today. How do I grow spiritually? But more than that, how do I help each other grow? Because the Bible teaches you cannot grow spiritually on your own. You have to have other people in your life. That's why we talk so much about small groups in this church. You have to have other people to help you grow. In fact, look at the next verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. I'd like for you to read this aloud with me, plus also read the reference, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Let's say it together. Encourage each other and build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Now let's say it again. Encourage each other and build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Now this is this week's memory verse. So let's say it again together. Encourage each other and build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Everybody look up here and don't look down now. Encourage each other and build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. You memorized the Bible verse. Whoopee! Turn to somebody and say, I did it. I did it. Okay. All right. One more time. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage each other and build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Now that's what we're going to talk about how to do today. And I'm very excited about this message because when we talk about how we help each other grow, you can apply this, like last week's message, in so many different ways. You can use it to help your boyfriend grow, your girlfriend grow, your husband, your wife. You can use it to help your kids grow, the people you work with grow. You can use it in your small group. Tom's going to talk about how we help each other grow.
The goal of 40 Days of Community is learning how to love, learning how to love each other. And one of the ways we do that is when we decide to help each other grow. And there's a lot of ways we can do that, but I think this first one may be one of the most powerful choices you and I can make during each week, and that is the decision to love other people, help them grow by affirming each other's worth. By affirming each other's worth. Here's a little secret. If you haven't figured this out in life, everybody is looking for affirmation. Have you noticed that? Everybody is looking for affirmation, and people will do almost anything to get it. If you don't believe that, just watch some of the reality shows. Look at what people do to get on TV, to get affirmed, to get have other eat worms, do whatever, just so people will applaud you. Pretty ridiculous. When you and I affirm other people, we're doing some incredible things in this world. We are showing love. We're ministering like Jesus ministered. He affirmed people as He ministered. He's made a difference in this world. We're doing God's work in the world. We're representing God. If you haven't figured this out yet, God is an incredibly affirming and loving Father. And we're showing the world a little bit more about what God is like. But here's the question. How? How do I do this? How do I make the choice to affirm people in everyday life? Well, there's four ways you can do that there on the outline. Number one, you do it by showing acceptance. With acceptance. By doing what the Bible says in Romans 15:7, when it says, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Instead of choosing to snub people and belittle people and demean people, which is an easy choice to make, especially if you're having a bad day. If I'm having a bad day, it's great to put other people down. You have a bad day too, that kind of a feeling. But when you make the choice instead to lift people up, you are making an incredible impact in their lives. It's easy to look down on people. It's easy to act like you're better than people. And there's a couple of facts that really make that easy in our world. Number one, we live in a sort of a put-down world. People tend to put other people down. When I feel bad, I try to drag other people down to my level. There's that kind of feeling in life. Our culture teaches us to compare everything, rate everything, appearance, talent, income. So it's easy to put other people down. There's a second fact that keeps us sometimes from accepting people, and that is our tendency that we all have, this tendency to take our strengths and project them on other people and notice how other people don't quite meet up to our standards. For instance, I know that some of you are people who are on time all the time. You're just that kind of people. That's the way life is for you. And those other people like us who are not on time, you tend to sort of look down your nose at us. You come and you sit in the bleachers so you can watch the people come in late. It just makes you feel good about yourself. Yep, there's late. Just makes you feel good. Those other people that are late. We tend to project our strengths on other people, forgetting that we have other weaknesses. Or some of you are... You're tidy people. I mean, just everything's nice and clean. You sort of like to go into other people's houses and just sort of notice. You don't say anything about it, but you just, I see that. I see that. Yeah, I see that. It makes you feel better about yourself. Let me tell you a better way to feel better about yourself. Instead of doing it by putting other people down, one of the greatest ways to feel better about who you are is to lift other people up. It gives you a thrill like nothing else. The Bible says, this verse is up on the screen in Romans 14:10. Why do you look down on another Christian? Remember, each of us will stand personally before the judgment seat of God. The point of that verse is, who am I, who are you to look down on other believers? God made us. He is our Father. He is our Creator. And we're all going to stand before Him. And we need to lift each other up rather than putting each other down. Truth of the matter, God is that God lifts us up. He affirms us. So who am I to put down somebody else? In fact, it is not God who puts us down. It's not God who accuses us. You know who the Bible says the accuser is? The accuser is Satan. So when I spend all my time putting other people down, I'm doing Satan's work for him. And he smiles at it. He enjoys that. Now, let's just make this sort of personal. We're talking about small groups during this time of looking at how we're better together. Who is it in your group that you have a sort of a hard time accepting? Who is it? Don't look at him. I'm just asking the question, who is it that you have a hard time accepting? Have you ever thought about this? God wants to use you in their lives to help them to grow. The fact that you have a hard time accepting them means you're different. And the fact that you're different means that you can help each other grow. They probably have a hard time accepting you too because you're different. God wants to use you in their maturity. But it all starts with acceptance. You cannot, I can't help somebody grow and reject them at the same time. You have to accept them like Jesus accepted us. In order to do that, you and I have to value the God-given differences and uniqueness that we all have. This verse isn't in your outline, but 1 Corinthians 12:6 says, God works through different people in different ways, and I am glad He does. I'm so thrilled He does. He's made us different. Now, how do you tell when you've accepted someone? Here's one of the tests. You stop insisting that they be just like you. You realize and you rejoice in the fact that they're different. Truth of the matter is, the world would be a boring place if everybody was just like you. So God has made us in all different kinds of ways to do all different kinds of things so everything can get done in this world. And the goal of a small group, goal of a family, goal of any group, is not to mold people into your image. God wants us to all be different. But to help people to discover who God made them to be. To help people to recognize, to affirm their uniqueness. I don't know when the last time you looked at somebody and said, you know what, I've noticed you're good at this. Oh, I do this too. It's easy to look at somebody and say you're bad at that. That's lazy. Anybody can notice that. But when was the last time you put a little energy and effort into a relationship where you could look at somebody and say, you know, you are really good at that. You don't know the difference that will make in that person's life. Someone said that people are not like clay to be molded by us, but they're like gifts to be unfolded when you notice these incredible gifts that are in people's lives.
The second way is by showing attention. Not just acceptance, but attention. Now, that takes more time than acceptance. You know, you can accept somebody and still ignore them. You know, I accept you, just stay out of my life. And so you can disregard people. You can overlook them. And the Bible says in Galatians 6:10, give special attention. Circle that. Give special attention to those who are in the family of believers. Now, why do they get special attention? It's one of the benefits of being in the family of God. It's one of the benefits of being a part of a church. You get special attention. It's the flip side of what we looked at 2 weeks ago, where it said pay attention to those outside the family. But this says give special attentions to those who are believers in the family of God. Why? Because here's the general principle. Whatever you pay attention to is going to grow. If I pay attention to my garden, it's going to grow. If I pay attention to my kids, they're going to grow. If I pay attention to my marriage, it's going to grow and get better. If I pay attention to my work, that's going to grow. The only principle where this doesn't work is my hair. The more attention I pay to it, the more it falls out. Now, what is the greatest gift of love? Well, it's not diamonds. And it's not flowers, and it's not chocolate. The greatest gift of love you can give is focused attention. Focused attention. You know, you can affirm people just by looking them in the eye. And just by looking them in the eye, you're saying, I value you. What you have to say is important to me because you matter to me. And what people want more than anything else is focused attention. They want to know that their thoughts matter, that their lives matter, that they are valuable. You're not just watching the TV or reading the paper while you're listening to them. You are focusing on them. God pays attention to you. He says even the hairs on your head are numbered. And Jesus said that the essence of relationships is not what we do for each other. And the essence of relationships is not even what we give to each other, provide for each other. The essence of relationships is how much of ourselves we give to each other. Focused attention. Now, a lot of guys, we just don't get this. I can't tell you how many men I've talked to who said, I don't understand it. I provide everything my family needs. I give my wife everything she needs. I provide my kids with everything they need. What more do they want? They want you. They want you.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called How We Help Each Other Grow from our series called Better Together. The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But right now, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131.
The Bible teaches that we're better together and that we need deep, purposeful relationships with other Christians. Yet many people get tired of trying and settle for superficial connections or even retreat to a lonely life. Pastor Rick says you can experience healthy, vibrant relationships through community with other Christians. And that's why he put together the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. This 6-session DVD and workbook will help you find and establish the type of friendships you've always longed for. Here's what Vanessa shared. I never thought I really needed a small group, that I could handle life on my own, because I'm tough. But after a period of going through minor illnesses, I decided I needed to be in a group, so I started one. A few months later, I had to manage 2 separate tragedies. I felt like I was under attack. But it was my small group that got me through with prayer and faith. Never before had I needed to lean so heavily on other believers, and I'm so glad that they were there when I needed them. In a month where I could have doubted Christ, I grew closer to Him because of the strong people in my group that I had been blessed with. Life is easier with a small group because they help carry you through the good and the bad. Thanks for writing, Vanessa. If you want to learn how to cultivate deeper relationships with those around you as you discover how we are better together, then call and ask for the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. We'll send it your way when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift. Call us right now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to request your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. If you like, you can just text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
I can't tell you how many men I've talked to who said, "I don't understand it. I provide everything my family needs. I give my wife everything she needs. I provide my kids with everything they need. What more do they want?" They want you. They want your time. They want your attention. They want your focus. They want to know that you think they matter. And so they need time with you. And nothing can compensate for time. Kids don't need things. They need parents. They need time. And marriages need time. And friendships need time. And groups need time. Now, one of the greatest things that keeps us from doing this is television and internet. The average American now watches TV and or works or plays on their computer 5 to 6 hours a day. That's over 30 hours a week. That's 1,560 hours a year. Now, 1,560 hours is the equivalent of spending 97 days straight at 16 hours a day doing nothing but sitting in front of the television or the computer. Well, it's no wonder we don't have time for relationships. It always amazed me when Friends was on. I guess it's still on in syndication, but when Friends was on, people would rather watch Friends than make friends. And they would religiously spend an hour every night watching the reruns, but they wouldn't think of spending an hour every night making a friend. They'd rather watch somebody else live a fake life than them live a real life. Now, knowing that this is Orange County, I would be able to say that most of you sitting here and in our venues are in time-starved relationships. You are. You're in a time-starved relationship. There's a book came out years ago called Starving for Attention. It was about our anorexia. But most relationships are starving for attention. So let me ask you, who do you tend to overlook? It's often the people closest to you. Who do you tend to overlook? Do you overlook the receptionist at work? Do you overlook the secretary there? Do you overlook the mail person? Who is the person that's in your life all the time, but you just don't see them because you're too busy doing something else? Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to look for opportunities to show attention to the people in your life. To pay attention. That is the greatest gift of love you can give them. And don't just wait for it to happen. Make opportunities to show attention. And then I want you to schedule time this week with both your group, your small group, and your family, because you need both of them in your life to grow. They're essential to growth because we need acceptance and we need attention. Now, here's the third practical way that you can help people grow. Your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, anybody. You help them grow by showing affection. I'm talking about physical touch. Now, we've all read about babies and the failure to thrive syndrome. That means that little infants, if they are not stroked, if they're not caressed, if they're not touched as they grow up, they don't develop. They don't grow the way that God intended for them to grow. Babies have to be touched. I think that's why he made them so soft. Because you want to touch them, you want to nuzzle them, you want to hold them close. And they need that stimulation of skin in order to grow and develop. Now, most people know that. It's called the failure to thrive syndrome. What most people don't know is adults need it too. UCLA did a study a while back and discovered that to be a healthy, fulfilled, satisfied adult, you need 8 to 10 meaningful touches every day. You say, "Boy, I'm getting cheated." You do. Handshakes, hugs, pat on the back, a little squeeze. You were made for being touched. Whether you ever marry or not, whether you ever have sex or not, you need touches in your life in order to grow and to be all that God wants you to be. And yet, I talk to a lot of people sometimes on the patio, who say, you know, Rick, the only physical affection I get all week is at church. When you say, turn around and hug somebody, or turn around and shake hands with somebody, or give somebody a pat on the back, he said, that's all I get all week. When I'm out on the patio and I hug somebody, I often wonder, how long does that hug have to last that person? Most of you know I'm pretty famous for hugging, because if you get in my way, you're going to get hugged. And that's why I know why some of you leave early, because you're chicken. Okay, I see you up there in the bleachers, you know, last song, you side out because you think I'll get out before Rick gets out here. But you can run, you can't hide. I'm going to get you eventually. You're going to get hugged. Everybody stand up right now. Oh, you say, oh, no. Oh, everybody stand up. Come on, stand up. Okay, stretch. Everybody stretch. Go ahead, stretch. Okay, touch your toes. Touch your neighbor's toes. Okay, I want you to turn around and I want you to hug a total stranger. Go ahead. Turn around, hug a total stranger. All right, sit down. Now I know that there were two reactions to what we just did. Some of you are thinking, I'm never going back to that church again. And the smarter ones are thinking, next week I'm sitting by somebody cute. Okay, so Pastor Rick, do it again next week, and I'll be ready next time. Okay.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Did you know that the phrases one another and each other are used over 59 times in the New Testament? For instance, the Bible commands us to love each other, to pray for each other, to encourage each other, to serve each other. We're told to teach each other, to accept each other, and of course we're told to forgive each other. But here's the thing, you can't do that by yourself. You must do it in community. That's why you need a church home, and that's why you need a small group. If you're not in a small group and you're not connected to a church family, there are 59 commands in the Bible you cannot obey. Now, to help you understand what the Bible says about living with each other, I've created the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. And it includes lessons like belonging together and growing together and serving together and worshiping and reaching out together. And this study includes 6 DVD sessions, and each session includes a Helps for Host. And that's if you're starting a small group with 3 or 4 people in your home. It gives you tips on how to organize your small group. That's what I want you to do. I want you to start a Daily Hope small group by inviting a few people over to learn about living a life in connection, in community, in harmony, in fellowship. And you can do it best by starting with this 40 Days of Community Study Kit. It's your chance to get to know your neighbors and your friends who don't know Jesus yet. These are people you can invite to a group. I know they'll enjoy this study. Let me read you a verse from the Bible. It's in the Message paraphrase. It says this in James 3:18. You can enjoy a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys the results of that only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other and treating each other with dignity and honor. You know, right now, when you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope, I'll send you this 40 Days of Community Study Kit. It includes a DVD and the workbook. You say, well, how can I give? Well, you can write me, or you can give by visiting the website, rickwarren.org. And by the way, I don't take any salary or any income from this ministry. It's just a labor of love because I love you and because God loves you. And so when you give, you're helping expand this ministry into other areas around the world. And I just want to say thank you by sending you this kit. Thanks for listening today. You know I love you, I care for you, and I'm praying for you. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.